The Gemara says in the last parak, and the Gemara says here about the test of the day, Rashi quotes it, the Mara Bizman Hazeh is only midirabbanim. Matzah Bizman Hazeh is a machloikis amaroim in the last parak, and we pask an aloche, Matzah Bizman Hazeh is the Raisa, but Mara is only derabbanim. Why is Mara derabbanim? So that's a machloikis Tosfos and the Rambam. Depends on two girsas in the Gemara. The Gemara says that commenting on the pasuk, "Kol benecha lo yachol bo, or kol ora lo yachol bo." So the word "bo" has a connotation. That's on chof ches on the base, 5 lines from the bottom. Bohu dein oecha ablecha hu b'matzu hu b'mara. So the Meiri quotes the two girsas, whether it says b'matzu hu b'mara or just says b'matzu. So there's depending on the two girsas. There's a machlokes harishayna whether mara bizman hamigdash is deraisa if a person is not eating korban pesach. So the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah as well as in Sefer HaMitzvos that mara doesn't exist as an independent mitzvah. It's only hechshera de pisco. That's the Gemara's expression on Daf Tzadik. The Gemara says when you eat the korban pesach, if you don't have matzah mara, you yotze korban pesach b'di'evid, but it's only a mitzvah shalom b'shleimusa. The mitzvah b'shleimusa is if you eat a matzah semrayim yochlohu. If you eat the korban pesach in conjunction with matzah mara, the matzah mara are both called hechsher de pischa. It enhances the kima mitzvah of korban pesach. So that's why there was one opinion in the Gemara that matzah mezvana says only the rabban. That both matzah mara are only hechsher de pischa. Matzah doesn't exist as an independent mitzvah, like the Rambam says. Mara doesn't exist as an independent mitzvah, and that opinion was not accepted. The Gemara says, no, we have an added pasuk, but erev tochlo matzah. In addition to the pasuk that says a matzah semrayim yochluhu, see, on Pesach Sheni, there is no mitzvah to eat matzah. It's only a mitzvah to eat korban pesach. So. And that's what the pasuk says: "A matzah semrayim yochluhu." You should eat the matzah. You should eat the korban pesach sheni in conjunction with matzah mar. So it sounds like you can have chametz in the house. Rashi and Chumash quotes chametz and matzah ima babais. It's just pesach sheni. It's just the din. You bring the korban pesach, but since the matzah and the mar enhance the kiyum mitzvah korban pesach, you have to have matzah mar with it. Shailas on Pesach Rishon, on Leil Pesach, maybe matzah exists not only as a hechsher de pischa, maybe it's also a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So that's how we paskin, that in addition to that pasuk, matzah maram yochluhu, you should eat the korban pesach with matzah mar, there's another pasuk, be'erav tochel matzah, there's no additional pasuk by mar. So the Rambam's opinion is that mar never existed as an independent mitzvah. And Bizmanas, that's only with the Rabbanon and Bizman Amigdosh. If you're not eating a korban pesach, you're tummy with their chachoyka or whatever. For some reason or another, you can't eat korban pesach. There's no mitzvah in our Torah to eat more. There is a mitzvah to eat matzah, but there's no mitzvah in our Torah to eat more. Pashta says, no mitzvah with the Rabbanon to eat more either. Bizman Amigdosh. The Bizmanas, there's a mitzvah with the Rabbanon to eat more. Zechel Amigdosh. To make a zechel amigdash. But Bizman Amigdosh, all the other people are eating. All the people eating Korban Pesach are eating more, so you don't need a zechel amigdash. So that depends on the two girsas on Chav Ches and the base. Whether Bohu ain't orechel avalachel hu b'matzah, or the way it's printed in Agimar, avalachel hu b'matzah ubimar, that the Tomei b'derech achok and the oral, although they're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach, but they are obligated to eat Gemara. That's the way we have the gears in the Gemara. Yeah, what is Mara all about? So the Gemara says it's a vegetable, just like matzah has to be made from something that's boli dechimutz, that's a chameshis mini dogan, it's a grain. So to the Gemara says it's a vegetable. Not something that grows on a tree, it's a vegetable. If you want to get something that's very bitter, so you can eat part of a fish, maybe you should eat the gall of a fish. And Gemara says, no, it has to be a vegetable. Because it's written together in the pasuk, Amatzis Maram Yachlu, that's called a hekesh. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, next to each other, that's a hekesh. If you have two dinim written in two separate psukim, one next to each other, that's called smuchim. And that's a machlok is satanaim, where the darshan smuchim and kolot terkula. The accepted opinion is, no, you only darshan smuchim and mishnah terkula. So in the course of the year, we discuss many, many, many dinim that are based on smuchim and chumash dvarim and mishnah Torah. But this is a hekesh. This matzah marim yachlu is in the same pasuk. So just like matzah is a vegetable, something that grows from the ground, it's not from a fish and it doesn't grow on a tree, so too morer. Umar raises a possibility, maybe it's some kind of a vegetable that's called hirzuf. So Tosfos quotes Tosfos on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Ve'eima hirduf. So Tosfos quotes Abaye, who says it cannot be hirduf because we have a pasuk that says what does the pasuk say? So this hirduf is a poisonous thing. Doesn't mean that the mitzvahs all have to be pleasant. Sometimes a mitzvah is not pleasant. But it means when you're interpreting the psukim in the chumash, you have a toss-up. Should I say it means A or B? So is one of the mitzvahs that turn it reshes b'hem. If the two reasonable ways to interpret a pasuk, so we assume that the one that's more pleasant is the one that the Torah means. So if you're not sure what constitutes maror, so rather than say that it's some kind of a poisonous thing that can kill an animal, so we assume it probably doesn't mean that. So the Mishnah lists off five different vegetables that are acceptable. And the Gemara says the first one is chazeres. And chazeres is lettuce. That's what all the Rishonim say, is lettuce. Shailas, in the days of the Tanoim, they didn't have regular iceberg lettuce, but we call it, they didn't have a regular lettuce, didn't grow in Eretz Yisrael, didn't grow in the Middle East. So they had romaine lettuce. So that's a question whether today that we have plain lettuce available, so do you assume that you want to eat some more with the romaine lettuce or regular lettuce also? So the different practices about that. Why is it a mitzvah min hamufcha? The Gemara says it's preferable to use chazeres, the lettuce, rather than to use another one that's more bitter. Why? But shouldn't you have the one that's more bitter? One of the Amoraim was mahadar davke to have a mahadar amararisa, a vegetable that was very bitter. And then they told him, no, the first one in the Mishnah is chazeres, and that's a mitzvah min hamufcha. Why? Because that's really zechele by maruch es chaye, because the shibud began in a very pleasant way, and then first when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, then everything was pleasant, and then it became bitter at the end. So this chazeres, when it grows in the ground, it tastes it's tasty. If you let it grow longer, then it's going to become bitter. So the chazanish, that's what the Yerushalmi says. So the chazanish was of the opinion that you're only yotzei marer if you let it grow in the ground longer and it became bitter, then you're yotzei. But if you didn't let it grow longer, then you're not yotzei. And the common practice is not like the Chazon Ish. Everybody assumes that that's the explanation as to why romaine lettuce is labeled as mara, but you don't have to dafke eat it when it's bitter, as long as it's mara. The Gemara says that the binan ta mara v'leka, the Gemara says, bola matzah yotza, bola mara lo yotza. If a person swallows matzah without chewing, and he swallows mara without chewing, so what's the din? In kol atarkula, what's the din? Let's say a person swallows food without chewing it. Is that called achila or is it not called achila? So the Pashta says it depends how big the chunk of food is. Let's say you have Cheerios. So you have to chew Cheerios. The Cheerios are tiny enough to go down your throat without chewing them out. But if you're swallowing a big chunk of a piece of meat or a gigantic vegetable or something, a gigantic potato, then you're going to choke. So that's not normal. So there's no din that you have to dafke have le'isa. If it's a small piece of food that you're swallowing, there's no din that you need dafke le'isa. But there's a strange machlokes achrenim about this. Bola matzah, that's a gemara in the last parak. Bola matzah yotza, bola mara lo yotza. So why? So some say that normal is that you always chew the food. And matzah is the exception to the rule that you yotza, even though you didn't chew it, because it's called lechemoini. What does it have to do? Gehakta chanik. What does it have to do with lechemoini? Some of the Achareinim write like that. The Pashtun says that that tzad is not kerem. Bola matzah yotzah, that's the normal din. He's eating a little piece of matzah. He broke the matzah up. He has matzah farfel. He has a tinier, smaller than farfel. He has a small piece of matzah and he doesn't have to chew it. If he swallows a big piece of matzah without chewing it, shaloka derech achilosa, he's probably not yotzah. Just like shaloka derech achilosa, the Gemara had earlier. If you eat treifa food, shaloka derech achilosa, so you don't get malchus. So the Pashto says, if you do a mitzvah, shaloka derech achilosa, it could well be that you're also not yotzah the mitzvah. That was the Mishnah Melech raised that question in connection with the Rashi on Lamed Hem and Aleph, the bottom Rashi on the Daf. So we're talking over here, bola matzah yotzah, the matzah is a small piece of yotzah. Bola marva yotzah, because bein on top marva laka. It's a special din of marv. Yeah, but if you say over here, you don't have to taste the bitter flavor of the marv. Yeah, you don't have to taste it bitter, but you have to, whatever it tastes like, you should taste it. You're supposed to taste it. Bein on top marva laka, you have to be able to taste it. That's a shaila. Some people who suffered from COVID, even though they recovered, so some people lost their sense of taste. So if they're eating mara and they don't taste anything, they don't have any taste at all. So it could be that they're not yotzei. So it could be that they're going to say bracha ala hashir kedushah mitzvah achilas mara. Could be that not yotzei. So the stomach's better. Let someone else say the bracha. Let someone else who does have the sense of taste. Let someone else say the bracha and be mitzi you. So there won't be a shayla. What about the matzah? Do you need tam matzah? So that's a contradiction between the two Gemaras. The Gemara says, bala matzah yotzah bara mor lo yotzah. Bala mor lo yotzah. Why? Because bina tam mor v'leko. So apparently, bala matzah yotzah. You don't need tam matzah. But then the other Gemara says that there's a machlokes Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. What's the din? A mem aleph from an aleph. The brisa, the Gemara has a brisa. Yotzim baraka kashori ube mevushal shaloi nimayach. Divrei Reb Meir. If you cook the matzah mevushal, you cooked it so long till it fell apart. So then Reb Meir says you're not yotzim. And Reb Yossi disagrees and says not only are you not yotzim if the rakik is mevushal v'nimayach, even mevushal v'loi nimayach. Aval lo b'mevushal af pi shaloi nimayach, you're also not yotzim. Yeah, why does Reb Meir hold that you're not yotzei if it's only if it's nimayach? So that's what the Rashi had. Rashi was a little unclear on Lamed Hem and Aleph. Rashi said shaloka derech achilos. So the Rashash pointed out it could be that Rashi means shaloka derech achilos. That's not the normal way to eat matzah. Or it could be that Rashi just meant to say. It's not that you're not yotzei mitzvah shaloka derech achilos. The bottom Rashi on Lamed Hem and Aleph could be that it means that you're supposed to eat matzah as opposed to drinking matzah. For erev tochlo matzahs, tochlo doesn't say tishtu matzahs. So if you liquefy the matzah and you're drinking it, so that's not called achila. Even though shtiyah is bechlal achila, but if you liquefy the matzah, it no longer lends itself to eating. So it's only going to be, you're only going to drink it. Maybe that's what Rashi meant to say. Anyway, it's unclear why Reb Meir says, matzah shinimoyach, you're not yotzei. It's a little unclear. But he's of the opinion, Reb Meir is of the opinion, matzah b'lushela shalei nimoyach, you are yotzei. And we don't accept that sheet that we pass on like Reb Yossi against Reb Meir. We rarely pass on like Reb Meir. Reb Yossi says, loy b'mevushal ha'pi shalei nimoyach. So that's the question, why? So it says on the side, brachas lamed ches. And brachas daf lamed ches, the Gemara has a discussion, what bracha does one recite if he's eating shlokas? What is shlokas? Shlokas means you're eating a vegetable, and a vegetable could have been eaten raw. I'm not talking about potatoes that normal people don't eat. The behemoths eat potatoes, even though they're not cooked. But human beings don't eat raw potatoes. Let's say in America, we eat carrots, we eat raw carrots. And if you cook the carrots, you eat the cooked carrots also. So that's a shaila. If there's a vegetable that can be eaten raw, and then you go ahead and you cook it, maybe bishul is considered a shinoi, just like shinoi kaina by a gazlan, shinoi kaina, and there's a din shinoi by estan zayne mechir kelev. It says, lo sabi estan zayne mechir kebes Hashem lakecha, ki te'avas Hashem lakecha, gam shnehem. So what does it mean, shnehem? The Gemara says, Shnehem heim velo shinu yeim. If I gave the Zayna ton of grapes, and she made wine out of it, and she brings it to the Beis HaMikdash for Nisach HaYayin, or I gave her grain, and she ground it up, and she made flour, and she brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, that they bring a korban mincha, so that's a machlokes b'shamay b'silu. So b'shamay say the word gam shneim, the word gam is a riba, gam the rabbi shinriyeim, that even if I gave chitim vasos and solos, and the zayna made it into solos, or I gave her anovim, and she made it into wine, that's also possible. We don't accept the Shammai's opinion, we pass like Basilo. The Gemara puts it together with the din that Shina carried by a ganav. Whenever the chayfetz is nishtana, it's part of Chadash is Bo'olakan, so it's no longer called Estan Zayin and Mechir Kelev. And it's no longer called the chayfetz Hagzela. Heshav is Hagzela Asher Gozal means if it's still in the original state. If it's nishtana, you no longer have the mitzvah of Heshav is Hagzela. And once it's no longer mitzvah, Heshav is Hagzela, so there's nothing preventing the ganav from being kainav. So we paskan that Shina is considered Panim Chadash as Baal Lakanta. The same over here. The Gemara is, so the Gemara has a machloikis. If you eat cooked vegetables, if the nature of the vegetable is such that people, potatoes, you never eat raw potatoes in Europe. They didn't eat raw carrots, only the behemoths ate raw carrots. So the only time they would eat the carrots is if they cooked it. So you don't say it's a different Chefetz, Panim Chadash Baal Lakanta. No, it wasn't edible before. Minigam Dina was they didn't eat raw carrots and they didn't eat raw potatoes. So when you cook it, that's when you make it into the normal vegetable. But in America, that it's normal to eat the carrots, and maybe if you cook it, maybe I should say cooking is bishul is a shinoi. Panam chadash ba'olakan, I should treat it like a synthetic food. Synthetic food, the whole past history is gone. We forget about the fact that it grew from the ground. It should be bar pi adama, or grew on a tree. It should be bar pi lights. So that's a shayla nigimah, machlokes in the Gemara, brachas on daf lamaches. The Gemara says, don't you see from this brisa we pass on like Rabbi Yosi, that you're not yetzi ben mevatza mevushel as afa pisha lo nimayach. Why? Because parim chadosh above lakan, and I say it's not considered from the chameshes meni dog, and it's a synthetic food, and it's not tamoitzi, and it's a psanu anu. Synthetic food. It's not considered from the chameshes meni dog. The whole past history is wiped off. So don't you say that shlokas, it's a parim chadash. And Mar says, no. Maybe the reason why it's no good is because binan ta'amatzah v'aleko. You need ta'amatzah. What do you mean, binan ta'amatzah v'aleko? But the Gemara said in the last pair, bola matzah yotza, bola mara lo yotza, bola mara lo yotza, because binan ta'amara v'aleko. But you see, you don't need ta'amatzah, so it's a stira. The mistama, the answer is not so complicated. The chepza, the matzah, has to have bina ta'matzah. You don't have to taste it. When you're swallowing the matzah, there's no idea that you should taste it. When you're swallowing the maror, not only do you require that the maror should have ta'maror, if you cook the maror, it's no good. If the maror is mevushal, you're not yotze. But not only do you need that the maror should not be mevushal, shalaka mevushal is no good. That's the Gemara. On Lamates on the base. If you have Mara, that Shalak and Mabushal is no good because it's a Shinoi, and Bina Tamara. But not only they need the Chefsa, the Mara should have a Tamara, when you eat it, you should have the Te'ima. So, Bola Mara lo Yotza, but by the Matzah, in your Maisa Achila, you don't need to have to taste the Tam of the Matzah. But the Matzah has to have its original Tam. So, if you're going to cook it, it takes away the Tam Matzah. Perhaps that's what it says in the Gemara. Or Tosis has another two pshat. That's the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Lamaches. That if it's a matzah mevusheles, it's no good because you need ta matzah. Yeah. First, the Gemara thought matzah mevusheles is no good because shlokas is panim chadash is baal lekan. Then the Gemara backs out and says, no, maybe it's a different reason. Dina ta matzah v'lekam. There are another two ways to read the Gemara. What it means, bina ta matzah v'leka. So another pshat would be that it's called matzah mevushales because he softened it so much that that's considered a matzah shira. Usually the matzah shira means when I kneaded the dough, I put in meperis. And that was, if I have matzah and I have shmir on jam, that's not called the matzah shira. The matzah itself is lechamoni. I shmir on a little jam. If you're going to have a ton of jam on top, then the Gemara says, "Osi dvar hoshus and mevatal dvar mitzvah." That's another problem. Eating is a practice that the animals do. The nochrim eat. We eat all year long. Eating is a dvar hoshus. So if you want to elevate the eating to a level of a mitzvah, you have to make sure you only, let's say, I'm eating matzah. You have to make sure you don't eat something else together with the matzah. You eat another thing with the matzah, so then it pulls down the level of the achila and the matzah. The whole thing is called the Dvar Rishus. So if you eat the Korban Pesach with something else, if you're eating two things at the same time, so one of them is a Dvar Mitzvah, one is not. So the Dvar Mitzvah loses its status as a mitzvah. I say, eating like behemoth eat, like goyim eat, it's not called a mitzvah. So usually something is called matzah shir, because when I needed the dough, I put in ashir. It's here, when I needed it, it was good, but then I cooked it later on, so it softens it a lot. So the Gemara says, also, the cooking has an effect on the whole thing. It's just shmir on jam on top, that doesn't really affect the change. You're eating a little jam at the same time that you're eating the matzah. So it's just a little bit of jam that doesn't, that you don't say, also dvar shusim about all dvar mitzvah. If you have a lot of jam, then the jam is also dvar shusim about all dvar mitzvah. So again, so there are another two ways how to read the Gemara. In the Gemara Brachas, there were two pshatim. The first pshat was that Rabbi Yossi, the four pshatim Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara first, they had a havamina, the matzah mevushalas, you're not yotzei because Panim Chadash is Bo Lekan, Shinoi. It loses its whole past history and it's considered a synthetic food. And it's not lechem ayini, it's a shakal, it's a synthetic food. Then the Gemara says that's not necessarily the pshat. You can say bina ta matzav alekum. Bina ta matzav alekum. So then the Tosfos has two additional pshat and what that means. And one pshat is that it's matzah shira. That's what it means, bina ta matzav alekum. And then the Tosfos over here has a gora different pshat that doesn't fit into that loshon Gemara and brachas daf lamed ches. Maybe hachama askinan and ukim te pshat. Maybe Rabbi Yossi only says that you're not yotze by matzah mevushalas if it had a blila rako. And this is the Rabbi Natam Shita. On Daf Lamed Ches, there was a contradiction between on Daf Lamed Zayinam Beis, the long Tosfos. There was a contradiction between the two Gemaras, the Gemara in Brachas and the Gemara in Pesachim. What makes something into hamoitzi? Does it depend on lisha of lila ova, or does it depend on afia? So some rishonim say you need both, you need lisha and afia. And the Rabbi Natam says no, either or. If you have a lila ova, then you can even have bishul at the end, and that'll be hamoitzi lechem in haaretz. And if you have a bila raka, that there was no lisha to speak of, then you need an afia. Either, and we don't pass like the Rabbi Natam either. Rabbi Natam is a famous shita. Tosfos in quite a few places quotes it, but it's not accepted in Shulchan Aruch. Not in Hilchas Chala. Chala depends by b'cholchem yilechem ha'aretz has to be shem lechem. So we don't accept the Rabbi Natam. Not in Geta Hamoitzi. We don't accept the Rabbi Natam. We pass like the Ramban. The Ramban, Poshib Shat, the Ramban, not. Some understood the Ramban to mean that he holds that you need both Lisha and Afia. If you read the Ramban slowly, it doesn't sound there is such a Shita. Miri quotes such a Shita. You need Lisha and Afia. You need Lila Ova and Afia. But the Pashas, the Ramban didn't say that. And in Yerideya and in Orachayim, by Hamoitzi and by Hafrashas Chala, they didn't understand the Ramban like that. They say everything depends on Afia. It doesn't matter whether it had Lila Ova, Lila Rakam. It all depends on afia. If at the time of lisha you plan to do an afia, even if later on you do a bishul, but since the normal time to mafrish chala is at the time of lisha, you plan to do an afia, then it has a chiyuv chalas. Even if you change your mind and you don't do the afia, you still chayv mechala. But that's the Ramban shita that everything depends on afia. So here the Tosfos on the Malaf and Aleph, Tosfos has an interpretation of Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Yossi holds on a matzah mevushalas and not yotzei. Why is that? So it's because we're talking about a situation where there was a blila raka, and the only reason why it's called lechem to be yotzei batzah has to be called lechem. You have to say lechem shemavochem olav hamotzi. The Rambam says the only reason why it's called lechem because it had an afia. But then if you do a bishul after afia, then you say, even though ain't bishul ha-bishul, ain't afia achar afia, but Rav Lezer Mitz says in the Sefer Yerim, Yesh bishul achar afiyah. So if you do an abishul on the matzah that had an afiyah, so the bishul is chal, and that'll be relevant in Hilchos Shabbos. Yesh bishul achar afiyah. And that's number one. And number two, even though because yesh bishul achar afiyah, so the bishul is mevatel le'afiyah. The bishul takes over, and the matzah is considered mevushal. It's no longer called the afuyah. So if it didn't have an afiyah, then it's not called a lechem. That's why you're not yotzi. It's not hamotzi, and not called lechem. Not because it's not lechem oni, not matzah shir. The other pshat mutasis was you had a hard matzah and then you cooked it. When you cooked it, you made it very soft. The Sfardish matzahs are soft to begin with. Okay, that's the taste that it has. But if you had a hard matzah and you cooked it and the cooking made it soft, that's considered the matzah shir. So those are the four. Those are the four pshatim of Rabbi Yossi. So getting back again, Nochamo. On Daf Lametes, you have all the dinim of Morer. Morer Bizman says only the Rabbana. Morer Bizman on Migdosh, if the person is not eating Korban Pesach, the Rambam says there's no mitzvah at all to eat Morer. It never existed as an independent mitzvah. And Tosfos Al Pi Pashtus had the other gears on Chav Ches on the base. Bohu deino echel abalaychahu b'matzah u'b'mor. Both. Matzah u'b'mor. So the mor has to be gedulei karka. And if you have a toss-up, how to darshan and the posuk, so we say, d'rachay ha'darchan amchon nesivisev shalvan. The mor has such a discussion. Let's say, my brother died, and at the time that he died, he had children. So the wife doesn't need chalitza, she doesn't need yibum, she's allowed to remarry. And then afterwards, a couple of years later, the children all die. So you're going to say that even though she was permitted to marry at the time that brother died, and let's say she went ahead and she got married, and then all of the children from the first husband died. So you're going to say that now she needs chalitza, now she can't stay with the husband? Or she didn't marry, she was thinking of marrying, now she's not allowed to marry. The story changes because after her husband died, after my brother died, so then she lost all of her children. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't make sense to say like that. That doesn't pasken oyster dinim. I remember many years ago, the chief rabbi in Herzl was Rabbi Unterman. He was a big Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Soloveitchik met with him when he visited New York, so he reminded him that at this 40 years earlier, Rabbi Unterman had come to visit Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Soloveitchik told him over what Shtikal Torah he told Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. So Rabbi Unterman was very surprised that he remembered what he had said at the time. Rabbi Soloveitchik said he was a big Talmid Chacham. So when he visited the yeshiva and he spoke on Lampert Auditorium, that was in the middle of the whole hullabaloo. The media made up a story that there was a black diplomat from one of the African countries who was in the ambassador to Eretz Yisrael, and he was run over in a car accident at Meir Shorim on Shabbos, which is ready above him. I said, there are no cars in Meir Shorim on Shabbos. The whole story is Mufrach Meikar. They'll stone the car if you. There are no cars. Everybody knows. So he was run over, and nobody picked up a telephone to call an ambulance, because now that being Mechal Shabbos for Nochri. So they were attacking, in the media, they were attacking the Orthodox Jews because of this story. And then after around three quarters of a year went by, they were yotz all the attacking already, so they finally admitted that the whole story was make-believe, that it never happened. Okay. So Rabbi Unterman came in the middle of the whole hullabaloo. So he dedicated his whole, he gave a shiur. Dedicated the whole shiur to that shaila. What's the shaila? It's a din in the gemara. The pikuach nefesh of anachri is not derech Shabbos. We today find it hard to understand. How can it be that pikuach nefesh of anachri is not derech Shabbos? He's a human being. He's a tzal malakim. Okay, but that's what it says in the gemara. But in Europe, the practice was that in the Chassam Sofer, I think, writes that the rabbis in Hungary made a takana, you have to be Mechal Shabbos for the Nochrim also. Because if you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos for the Nochrim, they'll make a pogrom. And then they'll kill all the Jews, they'll kill the doctors. So it's not that we're not Mechal Shabbos for the Nochri to save the life of the Nochri, that the Gemara says you're not allowed to do it. Mechal Shabbos for the Nochem, because if we don't, then they'll make a pogrom on us. So it's a sofik sakana on all the Jewish people. So Rabbi Unterman held the whole drasha that we're mechal Shabbos for the Nochem because of that pasuk derecha dachin no mechon nisibus el shalom, and therefore mechal Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik wasn't there at the time that he spoke. But he asked the students, what did he say? So he told him, so he was very upset. He said, that's not the reason why. The Paschim don't say the Derech HaDachanam. They say because the Chassam Sofer quotes this takana that they made in Hungary. If we won't be Mechal Shabbos for the Nochri, it'll be a takana for us. They'll make a pogrom for the Jewish people. He said the other day, the Gemara in Perek Rabbi Shmuel in Menachah says that to you apply the Kula Pikoch Nevesh Derech HaShabbos, you have to have in mind the Shem Pikoch Nevesh. If a person went fishing on Shabbos, he didn't even hear that a baby drowned. He doesn't know anything about any baby drowning. And he went fishing, and b'mikre, as he's pulling out the fish, he happened to save the life of the baby. So the Gemara says, everybody agrees that he's chayv miso, he's chayv chattas, if he did b'shogeg, because pikuach nefesh doesn't apply there. It's just a machlek in the Gemara. What if he heard about the fact that a baby drowned, but he didn't have it in mind? Should I say that he had it in the back of his mind? That's a shaila, two opinions in the Gemara. But it's clear from the Gemara that in order for the heta, pikuach nefesh to apply, you have to have kavanas hagavra. So let's say a Jewish person is going to be mechal the Shabbos to save the life of a nachri. He has in mind to save the life of the nachri. So that's not called pikuach nefesh. He has to have in mind, if a person is running to save the life of a Jewish person, so that's obvious. He doesn't have to say, l'shem yichud kush b'yichud, doesn't have to say, hini mucha mezumah to do pikuach nefesh. That's obvious what he's done, but he's going to save the life of a nachri. What's obvious is that he's saving the life of a nachri. That's not a het to be called them. She has to have in mind. He's saving. He's doing the chilul Shabbos because they may cause a pogrom. In order to for the kula pikuach nefesh to be chal, you have to have kavanas agaber. The kavanas agaber has to be to save the life of Israel. Sometimes the doctors who work in the hospital, they don't have that in mind. So then there's no het to be pikuach nefesh. You have in mind the Nachri, that's not Pikuach Nefesh.
You say that Bezman Azah?
What do you say?
You say that Bezman Azah, the Heter?
Probably do. There's always anti-Semitism. There's always room for a little more anti-Semitism. Stomach. There's a lot of anti-Semitism. Every day in the news, they have defacing shuls and they're shooting people, shooting Jewish people, yeah. The Yerushalmi has a comment that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Not just it's a mitzvah min amuvcha to have chazeres. The five vegetables mentioned in the Mishnah are listed in descending order of importance. So l'chatchil you should have the first. The second best is to get the second. The third best is to get the third, and so on. For many years they used to assume the Achrayim say that tamcha is charein, horseradish. But truth of the matter, you read the Gemara says that these are all leafy vegetables. Horseradish is not a leafy vegetable. It's a root that grows under the ground. So the Pashto says that Tamcha is not Chare. Pashto says that the horseradish is not one of the five Midim. And the Pashto says that you're probably not Yotzei with the horseradish. Okay. Yeah. There is a din of Matzah Shal Maisa Sheni. Matzah Shal Maisa Sheni was a machloikis in the Gemara, whether you're yotzei or not. What's the shaila? If you hold, either because you hold ma'aseh sheni mama gavaya, so you're not yotzei, that was one version, or because ma'aseh sheni is not necha b'chol ma'shavas. And matzah has to be necha b'chol ma'shavas. So the Gemara has a suffix. What about maror shal ma'aseh sheni? B'Yerushalayim. Would you be yotzei or not? Should I say, since it's only the Rabbanon, so you don't worry about that, or not? So what's only the Rabbanon? So Rashi has two pshatim here on Lamed Tes on the base. One pshat is that Mora Bizman Azeh is only the Rabbanon. The other pshat is that Ma'aseh Sheni is only with the Rabbanon. Ma'aseh Yerek is only with the Rabbanon. And I'll tell you, Rani Chayv and Shubas and Ma'aseh are Dog and Tirish V'Yitzah. That's Rashi and Tosi. That's why we pass on the Shulchan Aruch. The Truma Samaisa, the Raisin is only on Rashi. The Rashi is the Truma. Reshit Degon Chasi Rosh Chavitzarech, only on Dogon Tirish VeYitzah. Dogon is the Chameshis Minyan. Dogon Tirish is the wine or the grapes, and Yitzah is the olive oil or the olives. And we assume all the other Peres Rilon are only with the Rabbanon, and the Maisi Yerek for sure is the Rabbanon. The Rambam's opinion is that you cannot distinguish between grapes and olives and all the other fruits. If grapes and olives are Chai Ben HaTorah, it's all Peres Rilon are Chai Ben HaTorah. And we don't accept the Rambam. We assume not only Maisi Yerek is only the Rabbanon, Maisi of all the Peres Rilon is only with the Rabbanon. It's only the Raisa on Tirish V'Yitzer is the wine and the olive oil, or the grapes and the olives, but all the other fruits are only midirabban. So Yerek for sure is only midirabban. The Gemara says in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah that Maiser Charuvin, Maiser on Boxer is only midirabban. So the Ravid says, of course it's only midirabban, because Charuvin is not Dog Tirish V'Yitzer, Shar Peres Leila. The Ram holds that all Peres Leila are not their Isis, so why is Charuvin only the Rabbanon? So the Rambam says, because Charuv and Baksa is basically not really Michael Beriodim, it's Michael Behemis. If it really would be Michael Behemis only, then you wouldn't even have Chumas and Isis mid the Rabbanon. But it's people eat it Bekoshi, St. John's bread. Obviously, St. John ate this Baksa, but it's basically a Michael Behemis. So that's what the Rambam says. It's an exception to the rule. The rule is that all Peres Leila, according to the Rambam, Achayiv, Menatar, and Chumas and Isis. And Maisa Charuvin is only with the Rabbanon. So Rashi has the two pshatim. What was the Gemara suffix? It's only with the Rabbanon. What's only with the Rabbanon? Marib is Manazah is only with the Rabbanon. Or Maisa Yerek is only with the Rabbanon. One or the other. Yeah, from the Gemara you see that if the Chisorim by Matzah or Maisa Sheni, if the chisorim by matzah then the chelz l'chama shavus is that it lacks in the afiyah l'shma, so that doesn't make any sense. How can that apply to mara? Mara, there is no asiyah. You can't say he made the mara shalor l'shma, since it's shal ma'aser sheni, so he can't be mechaven. And there's a mitzvah b'achilas ma'aser sheni. There is no asiyah by mara. By matzah there's an asiyah. When you bake it, you do the lisha, you do the afiyah. By Mara, there is no asiyah. So you can't say that it's a chisar and lishma. You have to say it's a different word. You can't, it's a tata de sasra in the achila. Can't be yotze two different mitzvahs. The two mitzvahs are so incommensurate that you can't be yotze both. So that's where the Mara raised the question, but maybe if one of them is only the Rabbanan, maybe if the Maisa Yerik is only the Rabbanan, maybe the Mara is only the Rabbanan, maybe then there is no tata de sasra. Okay. Then the Gemara talks the top line, Aruga. Aruga is Mishnah and Kelayim. Aruga is a topic of Kiloy Yisroel. We just discussed yesterday, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. In Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, and it's over here. Whether Kiloy Yisroel is a Din D'oraisa, Din D'rabbanan, Tosfos hold the parish. Mem Zainam and Aleph, the bottom Tosfos is trying to figure out. It says, Yesh Chorosh Tav Mechor Chai Bala Shmoin Olavin. There are only seven. Where's the eighth Lav? So Tosfos says, whenever somebody plants Kloy HaKerem, he's in violation of two Yisurim Deraisa, of Kloy Yisroim and Kloy HaKerem. So Tosfos assumes Sot Cholos Yisik Kalaim is an Yisur Deraisa, not to plant Kloy Yisroim. And Karma Cholos Yisik Kalaim is an Yisur Deraisa, not to plant Kloy HaKerem. So Tosfos has that arichus, and Rashi holds that Kloy Yisroel is only midir abonim. And the pasuk that says Sot Cholos Yisik Kalaim doesn't mean what it says. It really means Kloy HaKerem. The Mechudish Digashit. Yeah. Anyway, so here that the Mishnah is talking about Aruga. It's talking about how can you plant five different vegetables near each other and not be in violation of Kloy Yisroel. Either it's an Yisur Deraisa, an Yisur Rabbanan, whatever it is. What does it mean you're not yotzi, not shlukim, not mevushalim? So Tosfos has this in a few places, and they tell you on the side where to look all the sources, that shlukim means mevushal so much that it's falling apart. Mevushal means it's cooked, it's not raw. And shaluk means you overcooked it and it's falling to pieces. And the Vilna Gaon and Yoredeya and Hilchas Malicha interprets a few Gemaras that is just the reverse. He thinks that shlukim means it's undercooked. You didn't cook it sufficiently. Mevushal means he cooked it normally, and shalat means he cooked it a haschalas bishul, but he didn't cook it enough. So the Vilna Gaon makes a big fuss about this. He has enough kamina ledina, best in Hilchus Malichim. He learns certain, it usually does make a difference. This machlekes Taisus in the Vilna Gaon. But there in Hilchus Malichim, it chaps enough kamina. Yeah, what do you yotze yidechai vasam with the alim, the leaves, the jalifi vegetables, and the kelach, even the hard part? The Rishonim say you're not yotze with the sharoshim, the roots are wooden. You're not yotze. Horseradish, the whole thing is a root, but it's edible. So those poskim who thought that the horseradish is a murder, so they say that even though the whole thing is a root, it's edible. So that's not included in what the Rishonim said, that you're not yotze with the roots. They're talking about wooden roots. Okay. Then the Mishnah has a din. Tana Rabbanan, Gemara has a braisa, that whatever, what is not bole dechimutz, if something is offered already, if you have matzah that was baked already, and then you're going to soak it in water afterwards, so that's not bole dechimutz. So on this Gemara, some of the Svarim quote, they lived in the days of the, there was a Talmud Chacham in Europe, he put out one volume Sefer on Shas, Chidushim here and there. So he writes in the Hakdamah to the Sefer that his father was a Rav, and his father asked the author of the Nachlas David to learn with his son, Bachavrusa, to teach him. So he writes, I was bright. He writes in his Sefer, I was bright, but the Nachlas David was stronger in learning than me, and he attributes it to the fact that the Nachlas David was brought up in a city that was closer to Vilna, so the new style of learning of the Vilna Gaon had already come, had already reached his village. And what was the new style of learning? So he said, new style was that you learn everything in order. First you learn Tanakh, and then you learn Mishnayis, and then you learn the Gemara, and then you learn the Shulchan Aruch afterwards. And all over they did faker. Like if you go to Satmar, you go to the Satmar Shtibel, so you see the fathers are learning with their children Yerideya, with the Shach, and the Shach is commenting on a Maharsha, and the kid doesn't know the Gemara, doesn't know the Tosafot, doesn't know the Maharsha. So what is he learning the Shach? How's he going to understand the Shach? It's impossible. And that's why a lot of mistakes crept in. People started learning Shulchan Aruch before they learned the Gemara. So they start guessing, what's the reason for the din Shulchan Aruch? And usually you guess wrong. There's so many possibilities. If you guess wrong, so you have all the dinim will be cockeyed. So you have to learn everything straight. Anyway, so this person who learned the Harusa with the Nachlas David, he says they were planning to learn together 6 years and to finish all of Shas. They were going to dedicate 1 year to Zroim and 1 year to Masichtas Moed, and then Nashim and Zikin and so on. So after 3 years or so, Chaim Voloshin has sent a letter to the Nachlas David. He wants him to come back to the yeshiva to give shiur. So he gave shiur in Voloshin during the lifetime of Rabbi Chaim Voloshin. So on this daf, he quotes that incident, that famous incident, and he's the one who made it famous. That when they quote, they told the Vilna Gaon that the Hasidim started a new meaning, not the Ike Brooks. So the Vilna Gaon thought that everything the Hasidim did was kakai. So he said they should put a knedel in the window that all the people in the Vilna should know that he doesn't hold from the Chumra. Nothing wrong with eating knedelach, because the Gemara says, Eile dvarim sheim boilim dechimot ha'ofui. If something is awful, it's not bole dechimutz. And their chumra was that maybe today we didn't do such a good job at afia, and so maybe the inside of the matzah, the heat of the oven probably caused all of the moisture to evaporate. But so now everything is on hold. But maybe the inside part of the matzah, the top is baked and the bottom is baked, but it has a certain thickness to it. So maybe the middle part of the matzah is still raw. And the time is not ticking on, it's not turning to chametz now, because the heat in the oven was such that it evaporated all the moisture. But if you dip it in water now, then you start counting how many minutes. It could be bole dechimutz. So that was what the chumra was. But even though the chassidim are machmer, but on the last day of Pesach, on Tu B'Shem Shel Golias, they also eat gebrochs. They want to demonstrate that it's only a chumra, it's not a real din. That says in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes that there was an old minig already from the days of the Rishonim, that if the goyim have dried out raisins or dried out fruits or vegetables, that they put it on top of the roof and the sun was baking down and it dried out, or they baked it in an oven, let's say, so you have to be concerned. All they do is make raisins. So there's no room for any chametz. There are no ingredients. No other ingredients, that's all. So strictly speaking, there's no chametz. So what's the problem? So they had a chumra in the days of the Rishonim. Maybe the goyims, there was no hashgacha, nobody was watching. If it's under supervision, so it's good. So it has hashgacha. You have no hashgacha, so you shouldn't eat it on Pesach. But on the last day Pesach, that's mutter. Whenever something is only a chumra, so the last day Pesach is mutter. And the Pashtus is just like the last day Pesach is mutter. So Erev Pesach after Chatzai should also be mutter, because if you eat chametz on Pesach, then you have curse. If you eat chametz on Erev Pesach, there's no chorus. Pashtus says that there's no lav either. Those machlokes are Meir Reb Yudim. If you eat chametz on Erev Pesach, after Chatzai says there are lav. So the Rambam had a surprising psak. The Rambam said that on Erev Pesach he paskens like Reb Yudim, that there's a lav. But chametz shavala Pesach, he does not pasken like Reb Yudim. He pasken like Reb Shimon. Chametz shavala Pesach is only a penalty of the Rabbanim. And all the Rishonim argued, the Raivid and the Ramban, they argued, the Raivid on the side of the Rambam, and the Ramban on the Sefer Mitzvah, he says, there was no such Tana who holds like that. And there are Pesach, the Pasen like Rabbi Yudah, that there's a Lav, and Chomet Shalva Pesach, the Pasen like Rabbi Shimon, Chomet Shalva Pesach, the Ramban, there never was such a Lav. That was a problematic Ramban. But I'll call upon him. And there are Pesach in the afternoon is more cold than the rest of Pesach. For sure there's no Kharis. And Pashto says that there's no Lav either, not like the Ramban.
Based on
Hoel,
when can the Hasidim start
making the Knebuch? Based on? Hoel, like we were discussing yesterday. Hoel. Well, you're not allowed to cook on the first day Yontif for the second day Yontif. So you can't, unless you make an Erev Tavshil, unless the last day Pesach is going to be Shabbos.
And they won't eat it the seventh day?
They won't eat it the seventh day, and there are Misnagdim who would eat it. If there are no Jews in your neighborhood who can eat it, if there are only Hasidim, then there's no Hoyl. But if there are Misnagdim who can eat it today, then you say Hoyl. Yeah. Then the Gemara says also on the bottom of the Lamites on the base, whatever this is saskus, and let's say you mix flour with water and it sits there. So if it sits less than a shear mill, the Gemara said there's no problem. If it sits more than a shear mill, it's not that it's going to turn into chametz right away. There's what to think about. Where was that about the shear mill? Here it is. So if it's the flour and the water is mixed together, sits there less than the shear mill, nothing to discuss. Unless there's a lot of heat in the room, so the heat may cause it to be memar lahachmetz. But if it's normal room temperature, it's not extra hot, not that the oven is open. So though less than a mill, there's no problem. And more than a mill, then there's what to think about. And it's not going to turn into chametz in a minute. It takes a long time. It takes a long time till you have siduk, till you have seor, and then it takes a long time till you have siduk. Seor is the chametz nusha, the tchilas chimetz process, and siduk is the gemar hachimetz process. So the Gemara says here, even if it's more than a mill, but if there's constant hisaskus, here the Gemara has, kemach shenofel otoch adelef, there's a leak in the ceiling. Afilu kol hayam kula ein ebolad yechimus. If there's constant shaking, the dough is being shaken the whole time. Or let's say a person's kneading it the whole time. So whenever there's hisaskus, so then it's not going to be bolad yechimus. This is a very slight hisaskus, that it keeps on dripping in tif lahari tif, a drip and a drip and another drip and another drip. So since there's a constant hisaskus, it doesn't give it a chance to turn into chametz. Yeah. So we mentioned that even Ashkenazim have a minig, not to eat kidneys, where does the minig come from? So it comes from the bottom line of Tosfos Mem on the base. They quote the Oruch. The Gemara says that in the Reish Galusa's kitchen, they had people doing the cooking. They weren't the biggest Yirei Shemayim. B'duchte d'shchichi avdi. They're abadim. They're not so medaktik and mitzvahs. So then the Gemara says it's not right to allow them to cook chasisi. What is chasisi? So Tosafot quotes the Oruch. Chasisi is kemach shal adashim. Adashim is kidney, so it's not bothered their chimas. So the Gemara says, but if you'll allow kidneys, then the next thing you know is that they'll cook irregular flour and water, and it'll be boleh dechimas. By us, none of us have regular flour. We have matzah mill. Matzah mill is not boleh dechimas. The matzah companies use regular flour. So the days of the Gemara, everybody used regular flour. They baked their own matzahs. There were no matzah company. Everybody baked their own matzahs. So the Gemara has such a practice. If you live in a community, if you live in a, if there's a situation where the people in the kitchen are about them, and they're not so medactic and mitzvah, so you shouldn't allow them to have kitnias. That's what it says in the Gemara. So that's only a chumra. So the Pashto says that kitnias on Erev Pesach is mutter. The chumra of kitnias is only on Pesach, on Erev Pesach not. What about the last day of Pesach? They don't say in Shulchan Aruch. It says on the dried out fruits, it says the mekel on the last day. That you make on Erev Pesach, on the dried out fruits. And the kidneys, even if you have chocolates, they have kidneys in them. So on Erev Pesach, the kidneys is muta. It doesn't say, what about the last day Pesach, Yom Tov Sheni Shor Goliath. But all the chumras that you want to have to make sense, has to fit in. When you make or when you machna. Yeah. What's the story with bleaching the kernels of grain before you grind them up to make flour? You bleach it, that's called lisisa, that you wash off all of the dirt. If you're not going to permit lisisa because you're afraid it's going to turn into chametz, then the Gemara says your matzah is going to be black, it's going to be dirty. Don't you want to have clean matzah? That's what the Gemara says. If you're going to be machma not to permit lisisa, then you're going to be eating dirty matzahs. So then the Gemara says, well, why are you going to be eating dirty matzahs? There's a din in Menachos that we don't permit. Omer Shmuel, Omer Rav Yudah Omer Shmuel, Chitim Shal Menachos Ein Lo Sesim Oysam. Because there's a lav, Lo Siyav Chametz. You're not allowed to let it become Chametz. And still it's called Solus. Solus means that it's clean. So you see, it is possible to have clean matzah, even if you don't do the season. So the Gemara has this, the different opinions, whether lisisa is not allowed for Pesach, or we would bedavka recommend you should do lisisa to make it into more shmura matzah. Shmura matzah means you do something that's risky, that it may become chametz, and you're careful not to let it become chametz. So there were different practices, different amarayim. Some of them held this a mitzvah lilsos that makes it into more mehudadik shmura. And others said, no, you're not allowed to do this. He said, don't look for trouble. Don't do anything that's risky. There are different opinions, yeah. L'chatchila, we paskan, you shouldn't do this. But b'dieved, that's called kemach min hashuk. That's what the Goyim write about. You can buy, even if you have flour that was ground up and it was bleached, they washed it off. So that's kemach min hashuk. So the mikradin were mekel on that. Why? Because it's very rare that if you do lisisa, it's going to turn into chametz. The people do the lisisa, they bleach it, they wash it off in such a way that they don't want it to turn into chametz. Around 20 years ago, there was a scandal here in the United States. They had it written up in all the newspapers. Let's say they caught a whole bunch of flour companies. They were selling a sack of 5 pounds of flour, so the flour is expensive. And the water is cheaper, so they would put in a few drops of water. They put in, and then they found out they were putting in the maximum amount of water that you can put in the sack of flour, that it should weigh 5 pounds, and no one will catch it, no one will realize that it has water in it, because all the water will be absorbed. So when the government finally caught on, so they penalized all of the flour companies. So that was a problem. That's kemach ben ashuk. So mikra then we always assume kemach ben ashuk was mutran pesach. So that's another reason why you shouldn't use kemach ben ashuk. You should have shmurah mishas ketzira. Is it really mikra then that you need shmurah mishas ketzira? So the Gemara says that the last two lines are mem amar aleph. other Amar Rava. Rava said that they should do, the ktsira should be for the purpose of making the matzah. What, that's called lishma. You need lishma by the ktsira. The pashtus is not so. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pri Chadosh that usually whenever you need lishma, when do you need lishma? Let's say you make the ritzuas black, you need lishma. You tie tzitzis on a beged. So we follow Tosfos' opinion that you need kshira lishma. If you take the wool and you convert it into strings, you make tviya, that the Gemara, that's l'chol ha'deis, you need tviya lishma. When you tie the chutim on the beged, that's a machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam, where they need lishma. So in the Shulchan Aruch, let's say you take the hides and you convert them into parchment. So that ibud lishma. So there's in Shulchan Aruch, they call the machlokes, the Rosh and the Rambam, what if a Nochri does something, a Nochri writes a get, and they tell him the get has to be written lishma. He says, yeah, he's writing the get that so-and-so should be able to divorce his wife. That's what it means, lishma. So the Gemara says, Nochri adaita de nafshiko, but you can never rely on the Nochri. He may have in mind his own intentions. So some Achrayim assume that it means that whenever a Nochri does something lishma, it's a suffix. We can never tell what he has in mind. So it's a suffix whether it is lishma, it's not lishma. And others disagree and say, no, even though the Loshan Gemara Nochri adaita de nafshiko, we're not sure that he's doing a lishma. Maybe it's a halachic statement. That since a Nochri Zeinu B'Torah is Gittin Mikidushin, so he's incapable al Pidin of creating Lishma. And since a Nochri is not Mitzuveh to eat matzah, so that's why he cannot create Lishma. The mazel is that women are Mechuyev to eat matzah, despite the fact that it's a Zman Groma. The women should have been exempt, but the Gemara learned that from a Pasuk, that whoever is Muzah not to eat Chametz is obligated to eat matzah. So since the women are not permitted to eat Chametz, even though that's a Zman Groma, that's a Loises as a Zman Groma. In the Mishnah end of the first paragraph, just says called mitzvah seseh as man grama, no shem p'turit. But a loy seseh as man grama, that's ishva kosel ish alish l'chol onshin shabbatar. So the women are muzer; they're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. So since it's in one pasuk, the mitzvah of eating matzah and the mitzvah not to eat chametz, and the women are muzer not to eat the chametz, so the women are that's an exception to the rule. The women are mechuyev to eat matzah, despite the fact that it really is a mitzvah says the Shazman. There are quite a few exceptions to the rule. Hakel is beferish in the Chumash. The Hakel is anashim ataf. So the Gemara says Hakel is an exception to the rule. Simchas Yontav is a machloikis, and the Gemara machloikis, the Ramam and the Raiva, where the women are mechuyev and simcha. Because of Samach Da'atav, Agev, Hayosim, Almana, Asher Bisharecha. Almana. It says Almana. Samach Da'atav, Eisecha. You have to have your wife. So it sounds like the women are mechuyev and simcha. And the other Rav Mura says, no, Isha Baila Mesamcha, the husband is Mechuyev in Simcha, so the husband is not Yotzei Simcha unless he offers his wife. He has to offer the Almanis in the neighborhood. He has to offer the women. If the women don't want it, they don't have to eat the Basar V'Yayin on Yadu, because it's really as Man Grama, Mitzvah and Man Grama. But the men are not Yotzei, they're Chiyev Simcha. If they're only Sameach, if they eat and drink and they make merry, that's the Raman calls that Simcha's Hakeres. His belly is happy. You have to be msamech as ha'umlolim. You have to be msamech. That's fortunate people. So that's why I have a chiyuv. I'm not yotzei my chiyuv simcha unless I offer basa v'yayin to the almana and to the women, to my daughters and to my wife. But they, if they don't want that, they don't have to. They don't have a chiyuv simcha. So that's a question. Exactly how many exceptions are there to the rule? So matzah is one of the exceptions to the rule. The women are mechuyev, despite the fact that is a mitzvah, says Shazman Grama. For many generations, the women used to bake the matzahs. Now they have factories, and they have Jewish men working in the factories. But for many generations, they didn't have factories. The Jewish women baked the matzahs at home. So if the din would have been that the women were not mechuyev the matzah because it's Shazman Grama, then according to the Rabbein Atam, they wouldn't be able to create lishma. So the matzah would have been puzzled for the men also. So that's where Rab Chaim quotes from Rab Simcha Zelig. Simcha Zelig was the Dayan in Brisk. His son used to teach here when I was a student in high school. His son, Dr. Rieger, his son used to teach in the high school, and then years later he taught in the college. He learned in Slavotka. I think the son learned in Slavotka. The father learned in Valozhin. Rab Simcha Zelig learned in Valozhin. But the son who taught here, he learned in Slavotka for a while. Rav Chaim quotes Rav Simcha Zelig that Nochri Adaita the Napshi Kovid, if a goy makes Lushmo, it's no good. It's not that we're mesupik, like some Achraim say. We can never tell, and we're not sure whether he really had a mind Lushmo. No, it's al pidin. Nochri, whoever is Zaina Batoris, he's not Mechuyib in the Mitzvah Matzah, so he can't create Lushmo. And Nochrim don't have such a thing as Gerishim Biksav. The Rambam Paskins like that opinion in the Yerushalmi that Nochrim can get divorced. The Yerushalmi says they don't have Gerishim Biksav. They don't give a get. So the one version and one opinion in the Yerushalmi is they can't get divorced. That's the position that the Catholic Church has adopted, that no one can ever get divorced. If you fell in, you married a witch, so you suffer for the rest of your life. Unless you kill the wife, and then you can marry someone else. Okay. And the Rambam has adopted the other position, that the Nochrim can get divorced. They don't have a Gerushin B'Ksav. They don't need a get. But either he or she can initiate divorce, and they just say, Balpeh, nice knowing you, goodbye and good luck, I'm going to marry someone else. That's the end of the marriage. But they don't have a Gerushin B'Ksav. So that's where Abchaim quotes Rav Simcha Zelig, that the reason why Nochri Adaita Napshi Kovid is not an umdina. Not a psychological umdin. It's a halachic statement that whoever is Zeinu B'Torah, that din, cannot create Lushmo. Yeah, there's a Tosis in Gittin, where they quote the Rabbi Natam has like that. There's a famous Tosis on Mem Heyam Abeis. The Gemara says that in Chumash Dvorim, we darshan smuchim, two psukim one next to the other. So in Kriya Shema, you have the two psukim one next to the other. Kshatim los al yedecha v'hoyer et adavis bein enecha, v'chsavtam al mezuzin beisecha v'sharecha. So a woman who's not mechuyev in tefillin, only one who's a bakshira, only one who is obligated to wear tefillin and actually wears tefillin, can do a chsavtam al mezuzah, can write the mezuzah. But one who's not obligated to wear tefillin, a nochri or an isha, so they cannot write the mezuzah. So the Rabbein Tam holds that an isha cannot write tefillin that we knew without any posuk, because that's whoever's Zeinu B'Torah cannot create lishmo. Chiddush was even though women are mechuyev in mezuzah, they would have thought they can write their own mezuzah. So that's the chiddush of the smuchim that they can. So Rabbi Natan says whenever there's a mitzvah, let's say tzitzis, so women are not mechuyev in tzitzis because it's a mitzvah cessation as magrama. And the Rabbi Natan holds all the balatays were of the opinion that tying the chutim on the beged has to be done lushma. So he says a woman cannot tie the chutim on the beged because whoever's in the Torah cannot create lushma. So that's Rav Simcha Zelig said that he thought the Rambam also held like that. Whoever is Zeinu B'Torah cannot create Lushmo. So according to them, it's a Psul B'Torah Vadai. If the Nochri is going to bake the matzah, it won't be considered Lushmo. So that's the Shaila over here. Again, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pri Chodosh that if a Nochri will do the harvesting, let's say you want to have Shmurim Mishas Ktsira. So do you require that the Jewish person should do the Ktsira Lushmo? What if the Nochri will do the Ksira? So if the Nochri is going to blacken the tefillin, or the Nochri is going to put the hide into the tub with the chemicals to convert the hide into parchment, so the Mechaber writes, that's a machlokes, the Rosh and the Rambam. That the Rosh says, maybe it's good, and instructing the goy, the Rosh seems to have understood Adaita the Napshi Kovid means we're not sure whether the goy had in mind Lishmo or not. But if he had his Sova Amid Al Gabbam and he's explaining to him what it's all about, then it is good. And the Rambam seems told that it's a din, that it's no good B'Torah about it. That's right. Simcha Zel, except Shat in the Rambam, whoever's Zayin and B'Torah cannot create Lishmo. So that's the Shaila over here. It says, the Pri Chodesh says, if you have the non Jews doing the Ktsir and you have a Mashgiach watching, a Jewish Mashgiach watching, and then after they harvest all the tefillah, then they put it in a sack, in a plastic sack, and they make it airtight, and they put it away, and then they grind it up, and they use it for Pesach. So that's Yisrael L'Amid Agabav is good. Usually Yisrael L'Amid Agabav is no good when you need Lishma. The answer is, hey, you don't need Lishma on the harvesting. The Ktsira is not called Asiyas Hamatzis. There are two dinim in Lishmatam and Hamatzis Shmurim. There's one din Shima Michimutz, and there's another din Asiyah Lishma. So the Asiyah Lishma is only what we call Sidur Lepas. There are 39 Malachas on Shabbos. And the Gemara said the first 11 Malachas are what we call Sidur Lepas. Yidu Choresh, Zareya, Koitzer, Dosh, Ma'amer. There are 11 activities that lead up, and the 11th one is going to be that Ofer, when you bake the bread. So that the asiyas ha pas, you need asiya lishma. That's when you do lisha v'afia, or nesina samayim. That's called asiya. But planting and harvesting, that's too far in advance. That's not called asiya. Asiya samatze. So that's only shema mechimutz. So shema mechimutz. If the goy is doing the harvesting and the Jew is watching, you have a mashgiach. So that's shema mechimutz. That's not a problem. If the goy will be kneading the dough and the Jew will be watching, supervising, so then it'll be a machlekes. Then maybe it'll be a machlekes of the Rosh and the Rambam. Whether it's a no good b'toras sofik, a no good b'toras vada, maybe it will be good. But when you're talking about the ktsiras, so the Mishneh Berurah quotes the Pichonish, that for sure is good. If you have a mashgiach watching, because that's only a din of shema mechimot. Yeah. What's a din? I mean, Chaschina points out, there was a gemara earlier in the Lametz. The gemara talks about kagon de achmetz b'mechuper. There is a possibility that the grain, when it was attached to the ground, turned into chametz. It was raining a lot, and there's a puddle of water where he had the chitim planted, and the chitim was soaking in the water, and it became chametz b'mechuper lekar. So what does it help over here that you have shmur mishas ketzirah? There's a possibility of achmetz b'mechuper. So the Menhas Chinachin says that's highly unlikely, that it's very rare. The Gemara says theoretically it's possible, but it's very rare. So that's you're not mechuyev to be concerned about that. And even if it's going to become chametz from the time of the ketzira to the time of the lisha, it's also rare. So mikra din, you don't have to worry about that. It's only a chumra. This whole din of shmur mishas ketzira that it costs so much more money, the whole thing is a chumra. The Gemara tells a story that there was a boat that had sacks of flour. How arba de chiti, there was a boat that had the grain on it, and it sank in the Chishta River. And the rabbi, there's a concern that the sack of grain was soaking in the water for a long, long time, so maybe it turned into chametz. So they allowed them to sell it to a nochri. Sell it to a nochri, so the Jews are not going to buy it for Pesach. They'll know that it may be chametz. So the Gemara says, how are they going to know? The guy will say, here's a sack of grain, and they grind it and make flour. The Jews will think that it's a kosher to Pesach. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to. The Gemara finally comes to the conclusion, you're not allowed to, because l'chneiva l'siti mishlo. If you sell it to the nochri, the nochri may resell it to the Jew, but that's not allowed. But till they came to that maskana, so the Gemara quotes a din. What do you do if you have a beged shal shatnas? So the Gemara says, you're permitted to use it as osam osa tachrichem lemeis. You're permitted to use shatnas to bury mason, to bury Jewish mason. So Tosfos is bothered with Akasha, the second Tosfos, a mem on the base. Avol osa osa tachrichem lemeis. What happened to the din of Loig LaRosh Cherif Oseyu? The Gemara says that when you bury a mace in a four-cornered garment, you have to make sure that you put in tzitzis. Our meaning is the reverse. You bury the mace with the talus that they wore during their lifetime, and you remove the tzitzis, you pasal the tzitzis. But in the Gemara it says, you're not allowed to bury the mace in a four-cornered garment unless you put tzitzis on it, because otherwise it's a violation of Loig LaRosh Cherif Oseyu. Because the mace is now a rosh. Rosh means a poor man. Rosh is a poor man. One of the Bali HaTosfos was known as the Sar Mikutzi. He wasn't a Sar. He wasn't a government official. But they didn't want to call him the Rosh, because the Rosh Mikutzi means the poor man. He probably was a poor man. But they didn't want to call him the Rosh, so they called him the Sar. They reversed the Rosh HaTosfos. So it was the Rosh Mishantzman, known as the Rosh. Yeah. So this is a topic that that Rishonim and Achronim discuss. That the Gemara says, "Ahu shaita, when you bury a person in a talus, why do we bury the person in a talus? To demonstrate that we believe in Tchias HaMeisim." And the Gemara says, when Tchias HaMeisim will occur, the body will be reconstituted, and the begodim that you buried him in, will, he's not going to come back to life naked. He's going to come back to life. His body will be restored, and the clothing that you buried him with will come back. So it's, so we want to put on a talus so that when he'll come back to life, he'll be wearing a nice talus. Even though right now he is pater from mitzvahs, meisim chavshim, kivin shemeisim adam nasa chavshim in our mitzvahs, but it's a violation of loig l'rosh, cherif oisei. You have to put on tzitzis. So how come you're allowed to put on shatnas on the beged shel meisim? So this is a puzzle that the Balei HaTosfos were wondering about. So if you look in Brachas, what daf is it here? Brachas daf yutches. Tosfos tells you Brachas daf yutches. And on the end of the Tosfos, they give you all the cross references. One of them is the Tosfos Brachas daf yutches. Our Tosfos and Brachas, they were mekatzerit. If you look there, the Tosfos HaRosh and the Tosfos HaBiyud Silvion, they have it longer. So they quote there more at length, the Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. The Rashbam is the older brother of the Rabbeinu Tam. Why is it that you're not worried about shatnas and you are worried about tzitzis? So the Rashbam said, you don't have to worry about shatnas because the Gemara says in Yevamos that you're only in violation of shatnas if you have levisha sheyesh bo hanoa. The fellow is dead, so he doesn't feel anything with the clothing. Without the clothing, he doesn't feel, the clothing don't keep him warm. He doesn't feel anything. So the levisha zein bo hanoa, so that's why there's no violation of shatnas at all. If he would be alive and he would be wearing shatnas, it would be levisha shein bo hanoa, would be muta. So he's dead, there's no issa. So the Rabbi Tam is not happy with that. He said that that's true, then you shouldn't have to put tzitzis either, because levisha shein bo hanoa is not only a din. The Rashbam understood that levisha shein bo hanoa is only a din in shatnas. The Rabbi Tam held no, it's a din in tzitzis also. If you have a levisha shein bo hanoa, then it's not called a beggar. That's the question. A lot of the people now, in the last couple months, the last year, they were davening outside. So in the winter, it was very cold. So a lot of people, they went to daven on Shabbos, and they put on two sweaters and a jacket and a winter coat. And then they put a talus on top of the winter coat. So after putting on two sweaters and long johns, underwear, and a jacket and a winter coat with a scarf and everything, then they put a talus on top. The talus doesn't add any warmth at all. So that's a question. Can you say a bracha l'sata p'tzitzis? If it's a levisha shein bo hanoa. So the Rambam's opinion is that the Gemara points out that there are two violations of shatnas. One is b'levisha, one is b'ha'aloa. Levisha means if I'm wearing clothing, that's shatnas, and halah means if I have a blanket, that's shatnas. You can't say I'm wearing the clothing. It's not clothing, it's a blanket. But it's ha'aloh. Beggar climb shatnas lo yala alecha. Then it's not posik basul b'shatnas. Semra pishtim yachtam. So the Rambam's opinion is, that's how the Rambam understood the Gemara, that levisha of shatnas is asur even if it's ain b'hanoh. But ha'aloh is only asur if it's yesh b'hanoh. Ha'aloh that doesn't have hanoh is not. So let's say sometimes you have, the Gemara before had in culture, sometimes there's a store that has two branches, and on one branch they ran out of dresses, they ran out of coats. So they ask some of the workers in the other store, please bring over from 6 blocks away, please bring over 20 dresses, we want to sell it here. So you see people walking in the street with dresses or coats on their back. They're not wearing the dresses, they're men, they're not wearing the dresses. It's halal, they're having it on their backs. So if it's chilly outside, and they're happy about the fact that this is keeping them warm, that's called ha'aloh, sheyesh b'hanoh. So then it will be asa. If it's shatnas, then it will be asa. So the Rambam's opinion is that levisha of shatnas is asa, even if it's ain b'hanoh. You don't need, not like the Rashbam. Rashbam holds, most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. They hold that you need levisha sheyesh b'hanoh and ha'aloh sheyesh b'hanoh. You need for both in order to violate either of the two Yisurim of Shatans, whether Levisha or Halo, you have to have Yesh Bahano. And the Rambam has a Chiddush that by Levisha Mamish, a Chumra, Levisha of Shatans is Zasr, even if it's Ein Bahano. So again, so the Rashbam was of the opinion that Halacha, Levisha is only, he holds, goes on Levisha also. Levisha is only also by Shatnas. If it's Yesh B'hanoah, only applies to Shatnas. The din doesn't apply to Tzitzis. Tzitzis Yimuchiv, if you wear 4-corner garment, even if it's Levisha She'en B'hanoah. And the Rabbi Natam disagreed with the Rashbam. How do you come off to distinguish between Shatnas and Tzitzis? He thought that it should be the same thing. If that's the definition of Levisha, Sheyesh Bahanoah, so Levisha by Tzitzis also should only be if Yesh Bahanoah. That was a shock. So according to the Rashbam, the reason why you only Machmer by the Mason to put Tzitzis on because of like L'Rosh Cherif Hasehu, and you're not worried about Shatness, how come you're not worried? Osmosa Tachrichim the Mace. How come you're not worried about Shatness? Only worried about Tzitzis. So the Rashbam says, because by tzitzis there's no requirement of yesh b'hano. So the mace is not being mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. But shatnas, we know the mace doesn't get any hano. It doesn't feel anything after he dies. So even a chai who would be wearing shatnas and he wouldn't be getting hano wouldn't be in any violation at all. That's what the Rashbam answered. Rabbeinu Tam didn't like the answer. He thought that the requirement for levisha yesh b'hano should carry over from shatnas to tzitzis. It's the same thing. He held that it's a din in Levisha and Kol HaTarkula, not just a din in Shatnas. So Rabbeinu Tam gave a different answer. Why is it that you're only concerned about tzitzis for the mason, you're not concerned about Shatnas? So he said, because Shkula tzitzis, Keneged Kol HaTarkula. So that's why we're machma more on the tzitzis. Then on this question, the whole issue that was debated by the Rashbam, the Rabbeinu Tam, what's the answer? Why is there a discrepancy between Shatnas and tzitzis? So the Maharal Prague in his commentary on Rashi and the Gurariye on Chumash, so he gives a different teretz on Tosfos Kashi. He thinks there's a chiluk between a mitzvah sase and a mitzvah lo sase. He says that in the area of a mitzvah sase, there's a concept of ein mitzvah v'yosi. You want to volunteer to do a mitzvah sase. In the area of a lo sase, if it's mutter, it's mutter. What do you mean? As an ein mitzvah v'yosi, he's going to volunteer. If there's no Issa, there's no Issa. If for whatever reason, there's no Issa, so it's mutter. It only makes sense to volunteer as a Midas Chasidus and a Mitzvah Saseh. Women will volunteer to fulfill a Mitzvah Saseh as Mangrom. So that's as an Ein Mitzvah Yis. But on a lava, it doesn't make sense. So that's what the Marami Prague has, and that's what the Meshul Chachma suggests is saying. He has the same. He doesn't quote the Marami Prague, but Marami Prague was a few generations before him. The Tosis points out the end of the Tosis, the last 15 lines. Our practice is that we passel the tzitzis before we bury the mace. That's against the Gemara. And the Gemara says, "Who shaita when you bury the person? Vade raminala, you have to put tzitzis in the beged." Because of Loig L'Rosh Cherev says, how come we don't do that? How come we fakir? We pasal the tzitzis. The Tosis says, here and there are practices that we have that are contradicted by what it says in the Gemara, but it's based on outside sources. Outside sources, so they say, Amedrish, Svarim Chitzonim. What do you mean Svarim Chitzonim? It doesn't mean the Apocrypha. Svarim Chitzonim means other sources other than the Talmud Bavli. Sometimes you follow the Rishon. Usually when there's a machleket in the Bavli and the Talmud, so the Rif in the end of the Erevin makes a big fuss that we follow the Bavli. We don't follow Yerushalmi. But once in a while we do follow the Yerushalmi, or we follow the Psikta, we follow Midrashim, Maseches Moches, and Maseches Ofrim. So that's what I said, list off a few practices that we have where that we follow Svarim Chitzonim other than the Talmud Bavli. And this is one of them. The Melchames by the Ramban on the bottom of the Rif in the end of Moikot, the last parak of Moikot, the end of Megalchan has all the dinim of Avelos. So the Ramban talks a little bit about this. What's the issue? Whether Bedavka you should put in tzitzis in the beged of the mason, should Bedavka not put in tzitzis? So he suggests in the Melchames and the end of Moikot, the issue is whether tzitzis is tashmishe mitzvah, tashmishe kedusha. If it's tashmishe mitzvah, then there's no bizoyan to put it on a beged shomeis. But if it's but if tzitzis is tashmishe kedusha, then it's not proper. Then it's a bizoyan akdusha to bury people with a talus. So the Ramban thinks that was a machlokes hatanoim. Rabbi Shaul and these people, these are tanoim. So he thinks that was a machlokes hatanoim, whether tzitzis is considered tashmishe mitzvah, tashmishe kedusha. It's a big problem. Nobody in the Bavli, nobody says tzitzis is tashmishe kedusha. Everybody says tashmishe mitzvah. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim what's the criterion to determine whether any given thing, what's an example of tashmish and mitzvah? Sukkah, lulav, and esrig. These are tashmish and mitzvah. So the rule is tashmish mitzvah, lachas man, bizman mitzvah, and it's hooked to the mitzvah. And after this man ha mitzvah is off, so it's no longer hooked to the mitzvah. But tashmish and kedusha, that even after this man ha mitzvah is off, retains the status of tashmish and kedusha. So how does one define what's tashmish and mitzvah, tashmish and kedusha? Reb Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim, to the extent that it has Divrei Torah written, if you have Psukim written, then it has the status of Tashmish and Kedusha. If you don't have Psukim written, let's say an Esrog, a Lulav, a Sukkah, a Shofar, this is a Talis, this is Tashmish and Mitzvah, that's not Tashmish and Kedusha, you have no Psukim written at all. So if you throw a Tefillin Mezuzah, that's Tashmish and Kedusha, or Tefillin Zekel, or Mentala for a Sefer Torah, a Gartel for the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is the Gufei Kedusha, and all the other things are Tashmish and Kedusha. But, so that's a Tela. The Ramban claims that that's a Machloike. It was a Machloike in the days of the Tanoim, whether a Talis is Tashmish and Mitzvah, Tashmish and Kedusha. There are no Psukim written on a Talis. Talis should certainly be... You have a different definition of what Tashmish and Kedusha. It's problematic, that Ramban. But there's a Machloike Satanai, whether a Talis is a Tashmish and Mitzvah, Tashmish and Kedusha. And that's the nafkamina, where you bury a mace with the tzitzis you don't, that's the shayla, is it a Tashmish and Kedusha, Tashmish and Mitzvah. Sounds like a pshetl. Why should it be told he's other than? It is problematic. Yeah. Then Tosis has Dibra Mascha Ho'ilfis, a memam is based, Dibra Mascha Ho'ilfis. There are diukim from the Mishnah that seems to contradict each other. I had a pot of soup cooking on top of a blech on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to leave it on top of the fire if you didn't put a blech. That's called Shehiyah. Why Shehiyah is Osik? Shehiyah is Osik, Zer Shem Yechata B'Gilcholim. We're afraid that in the days of the Tanoim, they didn't have, like we have today, a stove. So they had the pata sitting on the coals. If someone's going to be chota b'gachom, he's going to poke around. So the Gemara says he'll be in violation of two malachas, mechaba and mavir. Some of the coals that were black before will become orange. That's havara. Even though when it was black, it was burning hot. If you touch it, you burn your fingers off. But still, if it's black, it's not called an esh. And when it turns orange, then it's called esh. And if you're going to be chot to be gecholim, so some of the black coals will turn orange, some of the orange coals will turn black. So the Gemara says, one is chot to be gecholim on Shabbos b'shogeg, he didn't realize that it's also chayiv shtei chatos, one because of mechab and one because of mavir. Unless you hold like the Tana who holds that habor l'laviot, says there's no koris, then there's no chayiv chatos, then you'll only be chayiv mishum mechab. Some Achrayim thought that Rav Menashe Ilya was the Rashash was a relative. Rav Menashe Ilya lived in the days of the Vilna Gaon 100 years before the Rashash. Rashash lived in Vilna. Rashash was the Rosh HaKohol. He was the president of the Kehillah in Vilna at the end of the 1800s. He helped the Achim Alman Aram when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He gave a lot of his money to print the Vilna Shas. Used to be a silly professor, used to teach Jewish history here in Yeshiva College. So he used to say that the only reason why the Rashash got into the back of the Gemara is because he helped pay for the publication. I think that's a pretty silly comment to make. I only look in the Rashash. I'm not interested in the Rashash is a modern thinker. He always raises the issues that we're worried about. The others, the old style learning. The others don't get me excited. The Rashash always has something gewaldic to say. Rabbi Gifty used to say there are two balabatim whose svarim he enjoys reading, as the Rashash is the one balabas, and the other one is Rabbi Moshe Leib Shachor. That was Rabbi Chalap's uncle. He wrote on Chumash and he wrote on Bigdei Kuhuna. So Rabbi Gifty used to say these are the two balabatim. Everybody enjoys reading the Rashash. It's unbelievable. So the Rashash quotes from his relative. Rabbi Menashe Ilya wrote a sefer. He was from the city Ilya. He wrote a sefer Alfei Menashe. So he has a suggestion that according to the Tana, that Havar l'alav yotzes, that there's no kores. So if Havar is only alav, kalachayim da kibui, is only alav, because kibbeh and havara, twin malachas, they're related to each other. So havara is only alav, so kibbeh is for sure. So he said, with all due respect to the goyin, he was a goyin adira, it's against the beferish of Gemara. Because the Gemara says, increases, achayta b'gecholim, b'shegig, on Shabbos, is yichayv one chatas or two chatas. So one brisa says two chatas, mechabah umabah, one brisa says only one chatas for mechabah, but mavi havara lalav yotzah says it's not chorus. But if you all if havara lalav yotzah, kabachayma, kibuy is lalav yotzah, so it shouldn't be had any chatas. And says beferish, yichayv one chatas. Yichayv the one chatas for mechabah. So to be mechata b'gecholim is not allowed on Shabbos. Either because you're doing two malachas, some of the coals will turn orange. They were black before the turn orange. That's havara. And some of the coals that were orange, because you're poking around, will turn black. So that's mechaba mamas. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to leave food on top of the fire. The fire is the coals. They didn't have a stove like we have a gas. They had coals. You're not allowed to leave Shehiya, that's the issue. Shehiya is also Rabban, Gzeir Hashem Yechata B'Gecholim. And even if you took the pot of soup off of the fire, you're not allowed to put raw food into the pot of soup, because that's a Kli Rishon. Le'it in the Tocha Tavlin. Even though it's no longer a Gabi Ho'esh, there's a Nisa Bishol Deraisa, even if the pot is not a Gabi Ho'esh, but because it's a Kli Rishon. But once you pour the soup into the Kaira, into the bowl, then the soup is in the klisheni, so then you can put food into the klisheni. So Taisa says there's a stira between the two diukim. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to put a raw egg, let's say, into the pot with the soup, even though the pot is no longer on top of the fire, because it's a kli rishon. So it sounds like, but to pour from the burning hot soup pot on top of an egg, on top of raw egg, sounds like that would be mutter. And then it says, what's mutter? If I already poured the soup into the klisheni, then I'm allowed to put the egg, the raw egg, into the klisheni. It sounds like, but ivri from the klisheni on top of the egg would be awesome. So the diuk in the resha of the Mishnah is, you're not allowed to took, if you took the pot of soup off of the fire, le'it in the tocha tablan, you're not allowed to put something into the pot, into the klisheni. But to pour from the klisheni on the raw food, to do Iroi from the Klibishan, sounds like it's mutter. But then it says in the Sefer of the Mishnah, once you pour the soup into the bowl, then you can do whatever you want, because Klisheni ain't a Mevashan. So it sounds like Iroi is a Mevashan, so it's a stira. So that was a machlokes between the Rabbein Tam and the Rashbam. Which diuk should you make? And Tosfos of Paskins like neither. Tosfos Paskins, the Pshara of the Rabbein Baruch, the author of the Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma is a little sefer, like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but it's written by Bala Taisus. Every so often, he writes a whole chiddush that they won't find in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Most of the Sefer HaTruma is obvious elementary dinim, and here and there, he sticks in. So he has this word, that he raised Mevashel Kedei Klipo, based on the Gemara, Likamon, and Perikei Tzatzo. He raised Mevashel Kedei Klipo, yeah. Then Taisus has four nafkeminas lidinim. Okay, but in there, tomorrow, we'll start from this topic. Tosis has the four nafkeminis, and Tosis de Maasa Hilfis for Akdera. Four nafkeminis la loche, where the Iri is Mevashal or not Mevashal. Good? Okay.